Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for promptly arriving. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we give you praise and glory for who you are, what you've done, what you are doing, what you will do. We praise you that you're the God of the living and not the God of the dead, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true and living God, the only true and living God. So we bow down before you this morning, coming in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, and in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So guide us in this time of prayer this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, our pastor always was saying or said many times, someday you're going to read in the paper that Chuck Smith died. But that's bad reporting. What it should say is that Chuck Smith moved. I noticed that being quoted in most of the articles that I've read regarding newspaper or news account of our pastor's moving. And I just thought it might be good to have some biblical references if you come across somebody with either Pastor Chuck or anybody else who says, how can Christians be so confident they're going to be in heaven? And what do you mean they're moving? You know, he died. He's dead. He's not alive anymore. Well, you know, we really have to go back to the book of Genesis, don't we? So when we think about our living forever, we really have to go back to the book of Genesis and know that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female, he created them. And so what part is it of us that's like God? It's certainly not these bodies. God doesn't have a body like ours that dies in 100 years or before the fall, probably would have never died, and will be restored to that, I believe, when Jesus returns to earth the second time, as the scriptures say. But the part of us that we know is eternal is our soul, is our spirit, and we know that will reside in one of two places, either eternally with the Lord or eternally apart from the Lord, whatever we choose, because God loves us so much he lets us make that choice. So those who choose to love the Lord have that assurance of being with him forever. So it is very true that we can confidently and boldly say that when I take my last breath, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. That's not boastful. That's not arrogant. We can say that in all humility because it's true, because that's what the Bible says. Well, what does the Bible say about the resurrection and about the new body? Well, in John 3:16, of course, we're promised eternal life. For God so loved the world that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that really mean? Well, we have this great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, but I just wanted to quote a few verses this morning from 2 Corinthians 5, which our pastor often quoted and which is a passage that we should be very familiar with. Starting in verse 1, it reads, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And he goes on to talk about wanting to have our body, which is free from this mortality, free from sin, free from death, that will live forever. In verse 5, we read, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus said before he was crucified and before he was resurrected and ascended to heaven, that it was good that he go to be with the Father, for he would pray the Father to send a helper fully equivalent to him. And this he spoke of concerning the Holy Spirit. We read what? Who will dwell with us and abide in us forever. So every believer already has the third person of the Trinity, so to speak, in you. We already have that in this body, already right now, as soon as we believe. So we already have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. And then what? We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So that means that we cannot be in the Lord's presence in these bodies. They aren't designed for that. And no one can be in the presence of the Lord in these bodies. But then we read, for we walk by faith and not by sight. How can we have faith that we're going to be with the Lord when we take our last breath? How do we know that? Or how do we know that we're not going to die, but we're actually going to move into a glorified body? It's by faith and belief in what the Bible tells us, in what God tells us in His Word. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So that's why a time of moving for a believer should be a time of celebration and not time of mourning. The mourning and the grieving is for those who are left behind, isn't it? And we have those emotions, and it's good to be aware of those emotions, but we have to also acknowledge to a degree the selfishness of that emotion, because that emotion is for us. It's not for the person who's moved, right? Because for the person who moved, it's nothing but celebration. And so when someone passes, such as our beloved pastor, you have half of you, or maybe more, crying on inside and outside, and then you have a portion of you that is celebrating, right? And so you kind of go back and forth, and you're kind of rejoicing in the first part of the sentence, and by the time you get done with the sentence, you're in tears, you know. I don't know if you found that happening this week, but I did. And I think it's good to have those emotions. But yes, we are confident, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether to be present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. So that's a powerful little text there. And just breaking it down a little bit, that very first verse there, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So that's the promise we stand on. That's the promise Jesus was referring to when He said, "Rejoice in this, that your name is written in the book of life." A wonderful, fantastic promise for each of us. And of course, it's been realized by our pastor at this point. Verse 5, now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. As I mentioned earlier in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, Jesus said on the night before He was crucified, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. And that word "another" there in the original language means fully equivalent, totally equal. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit in you will be totally equal to Me being with you. And He will abide with you for 7 years. Is that what it says? He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. So when you see the world in discussions of these kinds of things, they think it's total foolishness because they don't understand it. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you, believer, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. Jesus Christ has purchased us. The Holy Spirit indwelling the believer is the guarantee. One of these days we'll move out of this old house, this old tent, and we'll be with the Lord. How wonderful, huh? One can hardly wait. I think it's important not to love this world and this body so much that you're afraid of death. I think we're all afraid of the way of dying. Most of us aren't afraid of death. Just don't give me a 24-year suffering in bed, right? But getting beyond that a bit, we don't need to. I see some believers who say that they're just petrified every year for their birthday because they can't stand to get a year older. And I don't understand that. I really don't. Because what is the objective of life? I mean, maybe they're doing so much that they don't want to end their ministry. I don't know. But I think we have a balance there. We want to be with the Lord to the point we're really looking forward to it, right? Because He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you think the place that Jesus has prepared for you is worse than this? I can assure you, I believe anyway, my opinion, when we take our last breath and we're with the Lord, we'll say, man, alive, why did I want to stay in that dump? With all of its problems and all of the troubles. Now, on the other hand, we don't want to be with the Lord so much, you know, that we aren't available for him now, though, either, right? Because if he was done with us, he would have us out of here. The only reason we're still here today is because he has something for us. Otherwise, we would be with him already. And then verse 6, so we're always confident. Are you always confident? Knowing that while we are home in the body, we're absent from the Lord? I think so. I mean, we can't be with the Lord in these bodies. And we walk by faith and not by sight. As Apostle Paul, we can be sure when we leave this body, we will be present with the Lord because we have faith in the Scriptures, which tells us that. We take God at his word, and that's what faith is. It's taking God at his word. And so for 2,000 years now, approximately, we've had, not quite, we've had God's written word. So if you always are praying, God speak to me, God speak to me, God speak to me. You know, my question is, which one of these 31,000 verses don't you understand? You know, you got 31,000 verses. Is that enough for God to speak to you? Well, no, I need more. Well, maybe you do, but he speaks to us, doesn't he? Through his word, and we want to be in his word. So walking by faith and not by sight. Do you have any problem taking what God has promised you? You say, well, I'm just not sure. And sometimes we meet believers, they say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven, and I don't understand what that really means either, unless they are not real clear as what the Scripture says, because, you know, Jesus doesn't have to go back and do it again. It's done. It is finished. The redemptive work of Christ is complete. There's nothing more that can be done. And if you believe that, you have that assurance of being with him when you take your last breath. And so then in verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. What we need to have is a resurrection of the body, because it will pass away. It will sleep. And we'll probably have, we'll surely have, a generation that won't go through death because they'll be raptured. But everybody else will die, but then be resurrected. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we read, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's in the rapture. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. To be with God forever, we need to get out of these bodies that die, right? Because we want a body that will live forever, and that's a glorified body. It's a body that is raised. Resurrection does not refer to the soul or the spirit. The Greek word anastasis means standing up. So it's a body which will stand up. And knowing these things, of course, we walk by faith. And so then the final capper is verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present with the Lord or absent from the Lord, present in our glorified bodies or absent in the bodies we're in now, to be what? Well-pleasing to him. So we have this wonderful promise. As our pastor has heard, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. So do you love his appearing? Are you ready? Are you ready for that last breath? It could come today for all of us, or some of us, or tomorrow. We don't know when, but it's coming, right? So may we be ready. And until then, may we desire to live a life well-pleasing to him. Amen? Let's do this sanctuary song again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And one more time, really prayerfully. Lord. sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And Lord, we do thank you for the promise of eternal life. And Lord, here we are to pray this morning, and we know that prayer is a response to your prompting. And so, Holy Spirit, as you prompt us, may we pray in responsiveness to that. And so we pray in one accord because of being directed by you. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen.